From the Deputy Minister. Can we ask please where the Minister is? This is a SARS engagement.
Point of order, please. Point of order, please. I don't think all the apologies were done because there is something on the Minister. She will be here. The Deputy Minister is off ill in hospital.
Honourable Member, I did not acknowledge you. Sorry about that, but all the same, Honourable Wilson, you can only talk to your neighbour through me for today, or for a few minutes. But Honourable Wilson, I wanted to respond to you to say we are not true, because if the minister's apology has not been read, it means she is coming. But we are not going to wait. That's where we were going to. That, as we know, after her apology yesterday, in many other, when she was in the NCOP answering questions, she still has questions that were left over, but she is going to come definitely. That's why there is no apology. You will get the minister. You will ask all the questions, honorable members. She will be here for you. I'm confident. So don't worry, honorable member. Can you finish your work?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. the agenda for today is the consideration of the APP and the strategic plan of SASSA, as well as the progress and the implementation of the Consular Court ruling. I think those are the apologies.
Thank
your
you.
Agenda items. Thank you.
With all this having been, are you having your hand, Honorable Van der Merwe? Okay.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just wanted to see clarity in terms of the agenda because I see this slide is up now. So I wanted to know whether we'll deal with this item first and then engage with the minister and then go to the APP, or how is Chairperson envisioning that we proceed? Thanks.
I was about to say exactly that. But actually, I wanted us to finalize the item on apologies and everything. And then having received the report that we correct, now the meeting is starting. And then on the agenda, I wanted to make an emphasis that in the first place, we have this APP, we have all these documents, but honorable members, you will remember that the court judgment came after we have done and we dealt with the APPs, isn't it? And therefore, issues that are contained and are part and parcel of the court judgment are also having an effect on the APPs. And therefore, what we I think we can do now is to deal with the state of readiness or issues from the court ruling in line, in order to realign them with the APPs, because we're not sure up until we are informed formally in this meeting whether activities that have been prescribed and pronounced by the court instruction do have a separate budget other than the budget that was set for the for SASSA and the APPs and all programs. So because of that, these two will go concurrently. Can we agree on that? Thank you. I can see people nodding. And therefore, I think the best way, Sisneli, is to, and the CEO, is to start with the state of readiness. So that whatever issues are being interrogated have everything to do with the budget and the APPs, as much whether we will need more budget or whether the budget is already aligned, we'll hear from you. And with that, can I therefore allow the department, I didn't want to waste our time by actually asking for introduction. We all know each other, we know the department. So at this time, we know the department. The floor is yours, you can start. You will decide which way you do, which will suit your effectiveness in dealing with these matters.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The Chief Executive Officer of the entity, Mr. Magwaza, will take us through with his team on the matters as the chairperson has given the guidance on this matter. So we are ready in terms of the progress report as well as the APP as per invitation, chairperson. Thank you.
When the minister arrives, we will stop where we will be in presentation and allow the minister to make her input and allow the portfolio committee to ask questions and then continue when we are through with that. Because we don't want to keep her all day long, nor do we want to wait for her. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, thank you so much for upgrading me to be an honorable Magwaza. It sounds good. But thank you so much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We have gone past that special day of the 1st of April, where so many anxieties right through the country about whether we're going to pay or not. We paid. As we said, we're going to pay, though the issues of the modalities of how we're going to pay were not the way that people expected them to be. But under the circumstances, we averted what might have been a catastrophe for the country if we may not manage to pay. So we did pay on the 1st of April. Things have gone very, very well from that time. And I do not want to say so much, and I want us to go straight to the progress, because I think we've got a long day ahead of us. In the letter of invitation, we've been asked to take the committee through line by line on what as court ordered us to do and the things that we have done up to now. We have done just that. We have looked into, we've tabulated the points that the orders that the court has given us and the things that we have done so far and who's responsible for whatever that is supposed to be done. Then we have taken it further and we are going to be updating the portfolio committee on what we are up until yesterday we have been doing, and in preparation for us phasing out phasing out CPS and phasing whoever that will be phasing in. So we'll be hearing from Sizoto on the things that will be taken. Then we'll take the questions going forward about this. I know there is so many things that members have been whispering when I was passing by from there right up to here about the Shopper Extremes that we'll talk about when it comes. So we will give answers to those things and update the committee as what is going to happen going forward. Can I request the chairperson to allow Sizoto to take us through? I've requested chairperson to allow Zoto to take us through.
Committee rooms today. This is this. So she should speak to the mic so that all of us.
Sorry very much. Can I request members to just take 2 minutes, get a cup of tea? It has just arrived. When you were seated, it had not arrived because there was interruption with the sofa. It was informed that the water was not enough. I don't know whether logistics would be done to have more water. Water for tea, I think so. Hot water. But now that we have threatened Honorable Solis, the gentleman who came to see Sodwa is SABC. The recording was not happening properly. Otherwise, we had agreed that we all know each other and others are members of the public as well as the media people. So can I just beg and go to Zanzibar? Yabonga. So welcome, Sis Matabile. Uma Dlamini is here, the Minister of Social Development. It was confirmed you are coming, but we decided to do some legal work because we know that you are also engaging with the NCOP. Our approach will be that Usis Sodwa, who was presenting the progress report, will finish. And I appeal to members that issues that you wanted to ask when they were presenting, you will also have an opportunity to do so when the minister is also going to be discussing issues on what Usis Sodwa is presenting. Last meeting, members thought or felt that we shouldn't proceed without you. And we had made a provision that if there are outstanding issues in your strategy, your policy direction, in this ATP, we will do that on Friday. But we also had a provision, honorable members, I remember very well, that if you come today, there will be no need for the meeting to be on Friday because we are all busy, that those matters will be dealt during this time when you are available, because there's something unavoidable that we have the same day together. We share one day as the cabinet and the portfolio committee. So you have to jump around. Now that you are here, we are going to want to utilize that opportunity and avoid the Friday meeting and do everything here and now. So what I'm ruling now is that Sisotwa must continue where she had left. I'll give you an opportunity to ask questions back to me once I've finished that you must finish, then the minister is going to come. So that in questions to the presentation we include, because what we were going to talk about also involves SASSA. Because you said to me, we haven't asked questions since there has been a court ruling. So that will be part. Court ruling is about these instructions and pronouncements that Uzodwa is talking about. So it will cover everything. I think you get what I mean. I'm not compromising. Honorable Wilson?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm understanding everything that you're saying. My only concern is that there were questions in the last meeting around the social development APPs that we wanted to ask the minister, and the minister was not available. Now, none of us have come prepared to this meeting because it's a SASA meeting with APPs from the social development meeting last Wednesday. I'm just concerned about the cancellation of Friday. Thank you.
We actually had indicated that pending that the minister is not here because the minister is ready, because a letter was written to say part of this presentation will include that. But anyway, let's not put it into debate. Let's see how much work we can afford. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Ms. Sotwa, can you continue?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I was just giving a report back in terms of the payment that took place in April 2017. The payment, because the SASSA payment happens from the first of each month, in the month of April, the first and the second fell on a weekend, which then meant most of the payments that were done through the electronic mode of payment, which is your ATMs and merchants. The money was transferred and became available to in the beneficiary account as from 1 o'clock on Friday, the 31st of March. By midnight of the very the 31st, 477,000 beneficiaries had already withdrawn their money, and the end of the weekend we had about 39%, which is 4.1 million. Of beneficiaries have had collected their money. Then the pay point started operating from Monday, but eventually when the payment was done throughout the 3-week payment cycle, 10.1 million beneficiaries had been paid successfully so. There were challenges that were experienced when we were paying. There were no challenges, let me put it like that, that were experienced. The only ones that we have is the spate of robberies that took place, but not necessarily in the SASSA space, but where we had the ATMs. So there were those just the criminal acts. And they have been dealt with by the law enforcement agencies. Then going back now to the court order from number 7 to number 9, the court order number 7 indicated that the minister and SASSA will have to file reports in a form of affidavit on every 3 months, which then implies the first report is due on the 17th of June 2017. The affidavit will be compiled by SASSA and the minister confirming the contents of such an affidavit, but also doing her own affidavit into that regard. The report itself is expected to cover the following: a detailed payment plan for preparing for the 12-month period, which will expire the 31st of March 2018. Then the steps that would have been taken to date, which then means by the 17th of every quarter, we should be able then to give progress report to the court, and further steps that will be taken in the following quarter. Then also, there were additional safeguards that were put by the court. It's around the issue of the data, the personal data of beneficiaries. The court ordered that the personal data of beneficiaries should remain something that SASSA should be able to take care and secure, and report quarterly to the Constitutional Court in relation to that. That the information we are taking of beneficiaries, we are keeping it secure. It's also not being shared with other people like those that are doing the telemarketing. Then the court order number 11 and 12 required SASSA to go ahead and nominate independent experts who will be
acting as monitoring and evaluation for the work that SASSA envisaged to do in the 12-month period. SASSA and the minister, including other parties, interested parties, they have nominated such experts and technical advisors. Those names have been submitted to the Concord. We are still awaiting the formal appointment of the technical committee from the Concord. Then court order number 12. The Auditor General or the institution that would have been appointed will also have to evaluate the work that SASSA would have indicated to the court that we are going to do, and also then report to the court accordingly. So this SASSA then have written a letter to the Auditor General indicating to them, as well as the National Treasury, of the constitutional court order, as well as their obligation towards that. Now, the action that SASSA has taken towards the implementation of the court order, starting from court order number 7. The SASSA payment framework, the intention that SASSA wants to work on is to make sure that SASSA has a one-stop grant administration and payment service. So the requirement for the takeover, SASSA readiness, we have to work on it, is to firstly to ensure that we have the ICT system. Then SASSA readiness working towards being a clearing participant in the payment space. This require also SASSA to look into the change management program for its staff in totality, work with the organized labor and engage them, because there will be changes that will be affecting labor. Then all these, they rest on the budget availability. So the pace of how SASSA will be able to gear and be able to be a one-stop shop will also be dictated to by the budget availability. The framework is depicted in this picture, of which members will read for themselves. Then the matters that needs to be resolved towards 2018. The first one, like I've indicated, is the payment framework that SASSA has to put in place. Then we look into what activities need to be undertaken for the period between the transition and the future, because then it means we are going to divide the work in two. The first one is to prepare for the 1st of April 2018, while also setting a pace for the SASSA future. We also have to consider additional funding once the framework has been developed, and we will need to engage National Treasury on the money that will be required for the because this has changed. If members recall, initially we were planning for a two-year program for SASSA readiness. Now it means we must have a one-year plan for a medium, we must have a one-year short-term plan and a medium one now, which will dictate SASSA readiness. So we'll still have to have an intermediary between the SASSA readiness, based on the fact that for now we just have to procure for services of payment, while SASSA gear itself to be ready as the service payment service provider. So what SASSA will be doing in terms of insourcing of the services, the implementation of Regulation 26A will still be prioritized, and it will be happening come the 1st of April 2018, SASSA having its own holding account, this time not paying through the bank accounts like we are currently doing, because how the money has been shifted, SASSA will be applying through social development to National Treasury, and the tranches of money will come back in that fashion. It's social development to SASSA, from SASSA to CPS, from CPS to Green Road. So that movement will be curtailed in a sense that once we have our own holding account, the money will be deposited directly into the holding account to ensure that if there are any interest accrued, they are accrued directly for government rather than getting a certificate from service providers that will be accounting for the interest that is accrued. The elements of registration and enrollment will also be phased in. I will indicate to members why I'm saying it will be phased in a sense that there are FICA regulation and FIRES regulation, of which SASSA has to start the process of applying, but that we have to do in conjunction with a bank or a payment service provider that will be appointed in due course for us to be able to co-issue and co-partner with them. Then we are also looking into the government-to-government collaboration. We have, as SASSA, started engaging SABO on the services that they can provide. But what we are looking at, which is also a low-hanging fruit, is the distribution of cash through the SABO outlet. Then the other departments that we'll be collaborating with, it's the Department of Home Affairs, on the issues of the biometrics, CETA for hosting of the information, including that one of biometrics. Then the South African Reserve Bank will still have to engage them, because when we are doing an application to be a in partnership with a bank in relation to FICA enrollment, the application has to be done to the South African Reserve Bank. So this will then give, will be able to give a full plan, and having even the costing in by next week, SASSA will be knowing exactly how much will be required just to be able to unpack and unfold the program. What we also envisage, and SASSA will be taking responsibility on, is the issue of enrollment, but like I've indicated, we do have to partner, so we'll be a co-issuer. The card issuance as well as card management. Customer management, it will be also a SASSA core business. Local economic development, in this instance, by using the economies of scale, we want to look into the utilization of cooperatives as part of the alternative pay points. That one will be able to do as at the 1st of April 2018. In conclusion, Chairperson and members, in the month of March, we had done preparations for the payment of the 1st of April. Then from the 1st of April to the 5th, we monitored the actual payment that was taking place. Then the second week of April till the end of April, we did the following. We reviewed the original two-year plan and concised it to a one-year plan. We also started looking into the procurement of independent experts, of which the names have been submitted to the Concord. We have engaged stakeholders, in particular the South African Postal Office. We have also developed a costed plan, which is informed by the framework, and it will be ready for tabling to court as at the 17th of June when the report is due for SASSA to table. I thank you, Chairperson.
This is the sequence of events. I'll call for the hands now.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah, once I've said what I want to say. This is the course of events because there is a belief that we have never met post-court ruling. Indeed, we scheduled a portfolio committee which sat in Bloemfontein because we were going to have an oversight day. And in that meeting, we all agreed that you will prepare as the SASSA, as the department, this type of a report. After the minister and the CEO had actually interpreted the court issues properly in detail, and then we agreed that we're not going to entertain questions, rather we would want you to go and comply and give us a report when we are back home, where we are today. So this report emanates from that. I would then allow hands Mama Soledi, Mama von der Merwe, Mama Abrams, and Mama, in that line, please, in that line, up to Honorable Hope. So, can I repeat myself? Mama Soledi, Mama van der Merwe, Abrams, Mama Nkhotri, Wilson, Mama Bridget Masango, as well as Umamu Hope. In that, which Mrs. Yoski, you will be the last. Not because you are young, because you lifted your hand later. Okay, so. Mama Soledi, you are on the floor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to everybody within the committee today. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation by SASSA. Although I will not be able to compare what was presented in Bloemfontein and here because I was not in Bloemfontein, I was with the other committee, but let me welcome what has just been presented to us. In my opinion, it's a very good step towards the right direction. Although it's unfortunate that the good step we had to be to go to court for us to do the right thing. But then my first question will be on the issue of the data. The presentation has outlined that the data should remain the property of the entity. What I want to maybe the entity to take us on board on the issue of data, because the last time when we were dealing with the data, there was an issue that data, our people's data, is not with the entity. So what I want to understand is with the service provider, what I want to understand, are they going to start a new data, or the court's ruling is based on the data that is already in existence, although the data is with the service provider as it was presented to us? Are they going to start the new data of the recipient, or the data that is not with them will be taken from the service provider? And perhaps also they should also inform us how secured will be the data. Mm-hmm. How is it going to be, how are they going to make sure that the data is not accessed by people who are not supposed to access it? I'm asking that question based also perhaps when the minister is given a chance to talk to us, although it might be premature to talk about what has happened yesterday in court on the issue of the illegal deductions that have happened. She might have not gone through the court ruling. But I think my question is linked to that. Once the data is protected by the department, no illegal deductions will be able to take place in the within the recipient. But if Minister has not studied the ruling, mm-hmm. you must feel free, Minister, not to answer the question, or perhaps we will deal with it in the next session where you are ready with the with the answer. It's just that I'm urged because I felt personally that the judgment really didn't. It was unfortunate in my understanding because it really didn't take into consideration the poor people who really have seen themselves having to have deductions in their little money that they are getting from the government. We understand illegal deductions happen are also happening to us. As enlightened as we are faced with the issue of illegal deduction. That's why I'm a little bit passionate in asking the question, because at the end of the day, our poor people need to be protected. Then I just want to come to the matters, the slide that is talking about the matters to be resolved. If you can go to that slide, Zodwa, matters to be resolved. I'm looking at the presentation that has been presented to us now, and I feel that it lacks some form of time frame, because we should, especially for us as the portfolio committee, we should be given the time frame that this is going to happen at this time. Unfortunately, 12 months is not a lot of time. We might look at it as if it's a lot of time, but it's too short. So the time frames will be able to guide them that we are running against time, we have to do this in such the period. So the presentation there, the matters that need to be resolved, I would really urge the entity that when they come next time, I don't know when will be the next time because now we'll be busy with the budget, Chairperson, can they just make sure that their presentation have got clear time frame so that when you do our oversight work, we are able to say, to hold them accountable that you said you are going to do 1, 2, 3 at this time. What might be the reason that you did not achieve the target that you wanted to achieve at that time? So that's my point on the issues of the matters that I can see. The matters that are there, they are clearly outlined, and I agree with them, but the only thing that is lacking is those time frame. If they can just do that for us to move forward. The last one, let's go to the elements, Chairperson. On the elements, Chairperson, also it's very clear, but there is that last bullet. I think the first part of the elements that say full plan and costing will be unpacked in the next week. I don't know whether there's an error there. I did not understand the statement correctly. Perhaps if they can just try to put the statement correctly, because I don't know in the next week, when will be the next week, whether when they are coming to the portfolio next week or when they are going to court next week. So it's not clear if they can just clarify the bullet, the last bullet in that. And also welcome we will be waiting for the costed plan, because the residents said want to know exactly how much is going to cost the whole plan, the facing in and also the facing out, if there are any costs that will be involved. Chairperson, let me pause there. I'll come again. Thank you.
The next part of it, you will remember that we have agreed that this is going to be a standing item. Whenever we have a meeting, they must give us. But I also expect the team, together with the minister leading, they won't file their things before they really give us the first draft, so that we know what has been filed. But however, they will answer more clearly themselves. But I also, Honorable, so that you want to think, Usi Zodwa said, the information is with them, and they are not sharing with anyone. If she didn't say so, she will say when she responds. But as she made presentation, I thought I had that. So can we proceed to the next member, Ma? Please.
Thank you, Mama Kaba. Thank you very much for the presentation. My questions will be merely clarity-seeking questions, Chairperson. Mr. Magwaza, I think I share your sentiments that the anxiety that we all had about whether the grants will be paid or not, at least we are relieved of that anxiety. But I think a new type of anxiety sets in with regards to whether you'll actually be able to meet the deadline, the new deadline that the court has set, because I hear us talking about 12 months, but 31 March 2018 is 10 months from now. So time is really ticking. So I wanted to know whether, I mean, I think we need to leave here today with a firm commitment that we will not have another situation where on 31 March 2018 we are forced to once more extend an illegal and immoral contract. And I think we need to get that assurance today on record. But I need to zoom in specifically to the issues of the affidavit of the former DG, and it's got to do with the issues of work streams. Now, the work stream so far has cost us 40 million, and I would like to know from Mr. Magwaza whether he thinks the 40 million has actually delivered any results so far. And I want to read just a little paragraph here from one of the affidavits where Mr. The former DG writes. He says, the above-mentioned work streams differed from the governance protocol insofar as it bypassed the SASSA Executive Committee, including the acting CEO, by giving Ms. Mvulani and the independent consultants direct access to the minister, therefore creating a parallel reporting structure. It further serves to strengthen the views that Mr. Magwaza and others held that the parallel decision-making structures in the forms of work streams may have been deliberate to ensure
just
a continued...
Just a minute.
I'm getting to a point.
Please. Can I request, honestly, that we take this route because it won't confuse us. I can suspend your being on the floor so that people want to ask direct questions on the actual presentation. Because the one you're asking is an issue to be asked correctly. But can we save it for a while? Because it was not part of the presentation. You will come last.
But that is exactly why I'm asking the question, because I want to know what is the status of the work streams, because it will directly influence whether SASSA will be able to meet its 31 March deadline. Because in papers in front of the court,
But you will.
Okay.
In a few minutes. I only don't want us to jump because people who have got direct questions on these issues now will not be able to come because the work stream is something that has already been ruling a pronouncement. You will be answered because it's clear about the work stream.
Okay.
So can I ask any member? I'll come back to you on
this
one.
Then I've got a lot of questions.
Oh,
then if you want me to park the affidavit and you assure me that we'll get back to it.
Okay.
But the work streams, is, because we are dealing with the Concord ruling, and the fact of the matter is the Concord also says an independent panel of experts must be in place to oversee the implementation of this period up until 31 March. Now, the work streams cannot be described as being independent. Therefore, I'm asking whether it will be done away. Also, within the time frame stipulated by the Concord Chairperson, the only option is the open banking architect model. And I wanted to know whether they are considering that in terms of the ruling also yesterday, in terms of the illegal deductions. So I'm asking, are they considering working with all banks, or are they only considering working with the South African Post Office? Also, I want to know, it says there that they've already engaged with the Post Office. What has been the outcome of their discussions with the Post Office? Will the Post Office be ready to take over the payment of grants within the stipulated period? And I also want the Minister, finally, to clarify for me, please, the statement that she made yesterday that the Concord ruling was unfortunate. If she can unpack that. And finally, I want to share the sentiments in terms of the time frames. I think, again, we are asking... It is quite, I mean, one is rightly anxious in terms of whether they'll be able to deliver in 10 months what they couldn't deliver in 3 years. But you are assuring me that we'll continue the discussion later, so I'll come back to my affidavits and the other questions that I want to ask, Chief.
Akuhle phela kuyibekele. Ekukhabanye manje uzobuya later. The next, you will come later. Mama Abrams.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Minister, officials, and everybody present. Good morning. I just want to use this and say thank you very much for the Minister when she spoke in Free State. She mentioned a few things like the money would be available on the 31st of March. And well done, Minister, you kept your promise, and it did happen because I actually escorted a few members to 12 o'clock to the banks to go and see if it's true, and yes, it was there, so well done. And to the department too, we know you've been working under extreme circumstances. I also want to know, Chairperson, if the department is busy with capacity building within the department regarding SASA, and then also if SARP has been communicated with regarding some advice. We had SARP here a couple of weeks ago, and we mentioned in our committee that they should be contacted for advice. They are the experts, and they would be able to direct you in the right direction regarding certain issues. My last question, Grindrod, will they still be issuing cards, and how would that be phased out? Thank you.
In line, Mama Mpozi, it's your turn. Chair, one will welcome the report from SASA, especially after the drama that we witnessed in this committee on the issue of national disaster, that it was being declared that the country will have a national disaster for the department not paying. To Minister and the team, thank you so much, because there's a stability in our country, and it shows that the issues of social security have been taken forward, especially as the ANC government, one will say that. Chair, my questions will be around page 8 on the SASA payment framework. Though one will say that the new organizational design or the new organizational structure or the new change management of department, it comes through the court, but we welcome that because it was the weight of this committee to say that you want SASA to be insourced. It was not a new thing, Minister. We did say it in this committee in 2014, once if we can go back to our minutes. So my question, it will be on the issues of work streams again. One will understand that if now the court ruling and you are having the new change management in the department, which is the work streams are falling off. I just wanted to know that because they don't have a legal binding after the court. I just wanted to the clarity on that Ozoda, because what we know, your plan is clear when you say that SASA will involve the SASA staff, the organized labor, and the issue of budget. So it means that are we going to have a multidisciplinary team that includes all stakeholders in SASA or not? Then the second question will go to the issue of South African Post Office Chair. I just wanted to know to the department if you already taken South or you have chose SAPO to be the main one, will it have all those facilities that SASA is having in terms of the payouts of paying the grants to our members? And did you check any risk, or are you going to have a plan with SAPO in terms of implementing this? And if there's that plan, can we be given that in terms of time frame? We know that where it's starting, where it's going. The last one, you did talk about issues of cooperatives and local economy. Again, is it if you are appointing SAPO, is SAPO going to tender or will give those cooperatives those business? I need a clarity on that. And on the issue of
the local economy again, what education are you going to give to those co-ops? Are the ones that are you building a financial sustainable in terms of local economy or what? Maybe on that. But so far, the presentation is very clear, and there is a direction. Thank you.
Honorable Ma Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have several queries. The first one in terms of the Constitutional Court order itself. It's not reflected in this presentation, but one of the orders from the court was that CPS Net One had to be subjected to an audit by an independent financial organization, and that audit had to be submitted to the National Treasury. And as they are contractors of ours, they contracted to SASA, do you have any idea if that is being done and what the progress on that is? Because I think that information is going to be critically important going forward. And it's not reflected in this presentation. Then with regards to the full plan and costing next week, and there's another one related to costing which says that SASA is going to submit to Treasury a business case or new model with full costings. I think we need to know what those are. The reason why we ended up in a court earlier this year was because there was no transparency about what was going on at SASA whatsoever. And I think as far as the portfolio committee is, and this was our plea from the beginning, can we please have transparency? In line of both of those, which we need to see, and we need an idea when we will get access to that information, is the whole point of SASA doing the takeover of grants, number one, was to reduce costs. And we're having escalating costs at this stage. I understand costs are escalating while we are implementing the new framework. We need to know what was budgeted for and how far over that we are going to go. It's very important.
Just remember, can we also remember that we are still dealing with the state of readiness? We have not gone into the actual APPs and budget. We started with this item to enable us to realign. So I think that is still going to come. Because when we say these new demands were not there when the APPs were done, and then are going to be articulated, that is the next item immediately after now. Thank you very much.
No problem, Chair. I hear what you're saying. But it's quite important that we understand that the next presentation is the APP. And is the APP taking into line these costs? I think that's because otherwise the APP is going to be irrelevant. But we will deal with that when we get to that presentation. Lastly, I have a concern, and it's part of the court order, that independent legal practitioners and technical experts' names had to be submitted to the Constitutional Court. And we must be sure that these are not workstream leaders or anyone who has already been contracted to SASA or had any involvement in this. Can we know who they are and that they are indeed, because we can't have people making recommendations on their own recommendations that they recommended for their own companies in the first. We need to know that who those people are and is there a rationale behind the decision to submit their names. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I think maybe we need to put order in this meeting. We call SASA after the Constitutional Court, and the department is here to give us the report. They are from the court, everybody is looking on SASA in terms of what they are doing, whether monitoring or observing it. We cannot just come now and say the SASA must come with the people that will be on the stream. SASA is now on the new organizational design. It's designing itself. It's like the issue of APP. It won't just come with APP maybe next week. Remember, it's from court, and court has given them the step to follow. So as a committee, we cannot just jump maybe to say to SASA, next week come with your HR plan or come with the organizational structure, knowingly that there are steps that court has given us. Why can't we follow what court has done? SASSA will come to us and explain to us, this is where we are. In fact, I'm confused.
Honorable member, can I say for your intervention? Honorable Funder member, can we leave it and allow Mama Hope? No, I'm not going to interfere with the input of Honorable Wilson. Just leave it to me.
Chairperson, I think if there are things that the department is not able to give us or can't comply with in terms of, for example, the information that they've given to court, I think it's for them to inform us. I think we are here to engage each other on an issue of national importance. I don't think we must preempt whether they're able to share with us names or whether they are able to share with us information. So I'm just pleading, let us not preempt what they're going to tell us. We are here to engage each other on an issue that affects all of us. If they're able to give us names today, they will, but it's up to them. Not for us to decide.
Thank you, Honorable. I haven't acknowledged you, Honorable Mthole. Mayor Tholedi?
Chairperson, ndizayithetha ngesiXhosa ke abangandivangandi yazi baba zakwenza njani. Ingxaki yethu kukuba xa si-engeyitha nesasa ngoku, si-engeyitha sifana naba bazingeli, umntu athi ezingela sekephethityiwa. When you listen presentations already, as we are asking questions at the same time, there's an element of mistrust. There's an element of mistrust from our own questions as the honorable members. We don't wait for them to give us the questions. Then if whatever that we have asked is not in agreement with what we want or they are not answering what we want, then we can engage. But the problem is we are already engaging and we all already know, we already have a mistrust to them that this is how they are going to answer the question. That is not fair, Chairperson, because that's what we are really have a sense that is happening here. Let's just honestly ask questions and then wait for answers. If our answers are not the way we expect them, we can keep on engaging them until they really answer the way we want them to answer to us as a portfolio committee.
Now where am I? I just put in this one, yeah? I'm not sure where this is working. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Before I ask my question,
is your mic working?
There's something wrong here with the mic. I think this one is now still not working.
Koisan Princess, there is a seat nearby your colleague.
Thank you a lot. There's three mics at this table. So a person is not sure what goes for what, but thanks a lot. All right. Chairperson, before I question the department, I would like to congratulate the department that on the 1st of April, after all the hype within the country, and the hype coming from the media and television, we knew grants were going to be paid, and it was paid. And I'd like to inform the minister and the department. My constituency office on that day went from pay point to pay point, and we had no problems with the payment of the grants. We didn't get up the night before, you know, to go 1 o'clock, but we did it the next day. So I'd like to thank the department that it is our constitutional duty or task to pay grants, and you did it according to the Bill of Rights. Our people received it. Now, coming to the questions that I would like to ask. My one question was on what one of the honorable members at the beginning noted as a concern. Because Monday within the constituency, I received this, where deductions are being made from grants. And if you look at the deductions, it stopped. As the Constitutional Court said, you know, within the ruling that it should stop. But deductions are being done again. And when you look at these deductions, the person is receiving a pension, and there's child support. And if you add up the debit, and you look at what was credited to the person is in debt to the company. So therefore we have a concern with the ruling that was made yesterday, because the grants are not a salary. Grants is a poverty relief to our people. And if illegal deductions are being done, then we as a committee have to voice our concerns. There's another query here, but I'll give it when we speak to whatever is SASA's, when SASA speak to their report. Now, I also had a query on the independent, the petitioners that the court was speaking to. They said within 14 days of the court order to submit names. But I would like to ask a question differently. Did the court pronounce on the names that were given to them? Because I think that we should know, the pronouncement is very important. Then my other, something else that I would like to ask is, let me just go to the next page. It's also with, to me, and I think that to come out clearly within your next report, because we are going to do your APP and we're going to pass your budget. To me, this is an unfunded mandate. And you'll have to speak to it. You know, when it comes to the Constitutional Court, as something that is unfunded. And you, as a department, have to tell us, when you give your next report, how are you going to legalize it? Because to me, this amounts to irregular expenditure, because it's unfunded. And because we speak about the PFMA and Treasury regulations, it will be good if we know what is happening. Then there was another question that I would like to ask. It's to do with the work streams. But because you gave a ruling, because I was interested in the affidavits too, or rather wait until you open that discussion for us. I'd like to thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honourable Member. It is the time to respond. Oh, sorry, Mama, you said. Oh, it's because, Mama, I had said in that row. Yes, it was unfortunate you didn't take your time. You can do it now. Because I said in a row. So thank you.
It's okay, Chair. Thank you so much for the opportunity to ask questions on the presentation. My take, Chair, is that this presentation happens where SASA was preparing to take over the payment of grants anyway. So the Constitutional Court came with some orders that were going to be, in my view, going to shaping what was already happening, because we were having presentations that were being made to us to say the agency is preparing to institutionalize the grant payment system. So I am asking, I'm saying that because there was a time when it was said that there are things that may not happen because of the budgeting, and I believe we need to make sure as early as now, in fact it's not early anymore, that we sort out all those things so that we are not found again going to the Constitutional Court again. Because I hear the colleagues saying that we need to congratulate the agency and the department and everything. We should not have gone to the Constitutional Court in the first place. So whilst it is appreciated that people got their grants,
the whole constitutional court thing should not have happened in the first place. So, Chair, my question is, before the constitutional court issue happened, we had asked from the agency and the department for the plans of institutionalizing the grant payment system. To this minute, we do not have any plans. Now, my request again, Chair, is that we have those documents so that as the portfolio committee that has been always under fire from the public out there to say where is the portfolio committee in all this? Why are we finding this agency that is so important in this country in the constitutional court in the first place? So we had no answer to that because we didn't know what was happening. We're getting PowerPoint presentations that were prepared as the agency was coming to see us. And the next question, Chair, has to do with the colleagues have asked questions about the work streams and things. My question is to just find out if we will, as the portfolio committee, be shared with the opinion of the Treasury on the issue of work streams. And also, the addendum that was presented earlier on, that it was part of the expired contract. Are we going to be favored with the copy of that addendum so that we know what are the modalities, if you like, of the new extended, if you like, contract with CPS? Thank you, Chair.
It also helps, honourable members. I know leading people who are at your level is not easy, but it helps if people wait for the menu to be given to them before they ask for source. Because already the matters you are asking are the actual embodiment of what you're going to get when we talk about work streams. And it sometimes takes our time to ask what is obvious is going to be answered. This is no way of undermining, but of cautioning that we're eating in our own time. The work streams are going to be presented fully, fully. And once it is fully presented, you will be asking your questions. That's why I'm in the driving seat. It's because I know when I limit you, it's because I know this is going to come out. So please, honorable members, ask questions once something has been tabled. I think I'm repeating what Honorable Soledi has said Soledi has asked. Can I then go to honorable member?
Thank you, honorable chairperson.
I was thinking hard on your name.
Honourable Minister, yes, I would just like some clarity on the aspect of the ruling that concerns the personal information of grant beneficiaries. If we could get some information on, firstly, going forward, how is this personal information going to be secured? But then secondly, and I think more importantly, what are we going to do about the personal information that is already out there? And what is going to be the communication strategy of the department concerning these deductions? In the past, you've outlined a three-step process that grant beneficiaries should follow if they notice any deduction, but this process is clearly not working. And I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the department cannot refund this money. And this situation has resulted because of the contract with CPS that under your leadership, Minister, has now been awarded two times in a row. You know, if we gave that contract to the post office or SASSA did it in-house, this would have never happened. So are you willing to take any responsibility for these deductions? And what is it that grant beneficiaries must do now?
Okay, thank you so much. Can
we allow them to respond? Please, one of the
I'm going to allow And unfortunately, deputy ministers are not part of the cabinet. And then, secondly, I'm going to maybe allow the officials to start responding and just make a few remarks. That firstly, it should be noted that there is expertise that is not there at SASSA. And therefore, you need people that have a full understanding of that expertise, because we don't want to compromise the process in terms of implementation. Biometrics. We don't have staff that understands a biometrics at SASSA. Banking. We don't have officials that understand banking at SASSA. Payment. We don't have that staff. Costing and modeling, as well as cyber risk assessment. And therefore, whenever we've been doing our work, we've taken that into consideration. And if we did not have that challenge, we would have appointed officials to deal with those matters. The fact that SASSA was created to pay out pensions and we did not start with that says there was already a challenge of staff that could not do some of the things that you are supposed to be doing if you are an agency that is going to pay out grants. But one other important issue is that the balance of our staff right now does not represent what we expect from SASSA. So that's also important. Most people are at the entry level. Then you do have managers. And 40% of people are in finance. So I think it's important also to understand this matter. But one other thing that the officials do not want to talk about, they've been looking into the budget, and we have agreed together that it's not going to take 12 months to bring the whole program into its totality. Yes. The company that is paying has to go. We agree. But this is going to be a 5-year process. And the estimation that we have right now is plus minus 6 billion. And what South Africans should do is to look into the whole process as an investment. Because once a SASSA starts paying, you won't be paying this amount of money. You would have invested in the whole program. So they will expand on that. They understand the whole program. Now, one other issue that I think is important, court has not pronounced on who is appointed amongst the practitioners that were presented to the Constitutional Court. But we are worried about the fact that as the court is waiting to pronounce, there are issues that are coming up in the newspapers that are aimed to influence the whole process. You must remember that one of the judges during the process said, we read what is in the newspapers, which means they are influenced by what is in the newspapers. So that also has come up again, and that automatically says whatever a decision that will be coming up will be influenced about what is in the public, and therefore public opinion that is not tested is sometimes used as part of arguments because it was said by a judge. And then we are not the first department not to meet the target as set up. And we understand why this one has got so much attention. It has got so much attention because it's about paying out pensions to the vulnerable. And public representatives are supposed to raise issues of importance. And therefore, if issues are raised, at least we must be given a benefit of the doubt. People must not say on the 31st, send out messages that are saying you are not going to be paid. And then after people are paid, have messages saying we fought for you to be paid. And also change the goalpost now and go and raise a number of issues that have nothing to do with the interests of the beneficiaries as well as the taxpayers' money. So that's one issue that we also think we should raise. Let's go and look into the turnaround strategy of Home Affairs. Let's go and look at committees that were employed by SARS and were extended, their life was extended even without consulting with the National Assembly. And that committee was even appointed without proper processes. So we should be balanced in the way we do things. The defense review. How much is the defense review? NHI, how much is the NHI? So let's be balanced, have a broad view of what is a challenge right now, and also be able to measure people through their performance, not through the hearsay we pick up on a daily basis in the streets. Yes, I am disappointed by the judgment, yesterday's judgment, because we've been fighting about this for a long time. We fought about the space, the radius, where the Mashonisas should be or should not occupy at the pension payout point. And you must know who goes to the pension payout point. It's an ordinary South African who can't go to the bank. And in the banks, there are no Mashonisas around there because people go in there and get their money. People that are milked are our ordinary people from the rural areas, informal settlements, and townships. And therefore, that is why we thought our fight was a dignified fight. We've also been to the National Credit Regulator fighting the same thing. We were also disappointed because we lost the case there with the National Credit Regulator. And from the word go, we had thought that the whole thing was going to be easy. But we have learned a lesson that you need to read carefully your argument and not take things for granted. But we must also say that when we saw that happening, we started looking into how it came into effect. And when we started dealing with the matter, the official that had written a letter to all regions telling them that you can use the card to buy other things resigned from work. Not that we've been sitting and not doing anything about the whole thing. Yes, we're going to work with everyone as long as they meet our requirements. Everyone who meets the requirements, we will work with. Everyone who agrees that this program should be people-centered, it must go where our people are because they are the ones that are grant recipients, we are going to work with. Yes, cooperatives, we are going to work with. And we are going to train our young people in entrepreneurial skills, working together with small business, economic development, and local government, agriculture, rural development. We are also going to be working with the Post Bank, and there we need to have a full understanding of what the post office has, so that also we don't give them the work they will not be able to deliver. State institutions, we're all going to work with those that have what we want. CSIR, through science and technology, home access, we are going to work with. CETA, we are working with them. So the names of a grant beneficiaries are with the CETA, what we call the soft pen. But MPs must understand that we are one of a few departments that are working with CETA. So we must also understand why other departments are no longer working with the CETA. We are going to need the CETA because there is a information that cannot be approved through Home Affairs because they only take information or have information about or biometrics of adults, and therefore you are going to need a vehicle that is going to be able to check children, but also we have a lot of information that we have to store. So we're not going to start from scratch. There are many areas in the government that store information. So we are going to be working with them. The judgment is very clear. Firstly, on all pay judgments, it was said that no one must use state information for other things. If you are requested to register people, you are not allowed to take that information and use it for other things. But also the judgment is very clear that there must be migration of data from CPS as well as biometrics from CPS. And we assist with that process. I think those are the issues I wanted to raise, Chairperson, and then I will come back when the officials finish responding.
But what is important is that before you CEO, can I allow members to ask questions directly from the minister? Because the minister has covered many things, including some of the questions you wanted to ask, so that when we go to the officials, they also deal with the issue of the APPs. Because clearly, there is an inextricable link between the court judgment, compliance requirements, because they will be included as part of APP. So can I allow that? I don't know whether you agree or you want to be on the floor immediately.
No, Chairperson, I agree with you, but also I wanted to ask follow-up questions to the minister, so my hand was up to for both.
Okay. I will be acknowledging hands to ask questions directly, whether the minister has pronounced on that or not, because the minister knows that.
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. And I appreciate the answers the Honourable Minister has provided us with. I wanted to see clarity because in her explanation, I did hear her saying that the cost process will about be $6 billion, it's an investment, but I also heard her saying that it's going to be a five-year process. So I needed to get clarity in terms of the five-year process. Are we then saying that there will still be a CPS after this one-year process? Because she said the phasing out. So I need clarity in terms of are we sure that by 31 March there will be no more CPS and we will continue with the post office and an open banking architecture structure to pay our grants? Or are we envisaging a process which will still include CPS past this court deadline? Because she did speak about a five-year process. And I want to go back to the issue of the illegal deductions. If one looks at the contract we have with CPS and NetOne, the original contract that this department signed, there is a clause in there which allows them to get the information of our beneficiaries, and it allows them to share that information. So I want us to... It's fine for us now to say, with the benefit of hindsight, we've made a mistake. You know, we've left vulnerable citizens very vulnerable because most of them get a grant, and then eventually when they get to go fetch the money, there's nothing left because it's been taken through funeral policies or you know, things that they didn't take, whether it's airtime or whether it's electricity. But surely somebody must be held accountable. Somebody looked at that contract,
saw a clause there saying it is legal for CPS and NetOne to share our beneficiary information. And I think now that the court has ruled that the status quo can continue, it's a sad state of affairs, but surely somebody must be held responsible, because as we sit now, our beneficiaries are still being subjected to illegal deductions, and there's no recourse. Yesterday, figures were cited between April 2016 and February 2017, 95,000 disputes were lodged with the department, but only 10,000 were resolved, and 50,000 cases are still not resolved because of there's no affidavits. They don't have access to formulating affidavits. And also, when we spoke about this issue last year in the Portfolio Committee, we were assured by SASSA that people don't have to go to the police station to file an affidavit. They can do so in the SASSA offices. So what has happened with that? Because the fact of the matter is, people cannot... The other day I went to the police station because I needed to lodge a normal case. It took me 6 hours sitting there in the queue to be able to do an affidavit. I don't think a pensioner or somebody with a disability can be expected to sit for 6 hours in a queue in any police station. And when we raised this last year, well, we've been raising it for many years, but the fact of the matter is somebody must take responsibility for signing that clause that allows CPS and NetOne to get away with murder in the first place. We cannot just now sit here and say we're folding hands because there's nothing we can do. Surely, and what is the engagement with CPS and NetOne? Because at the end of the day, like I said before, we cannot allow this situation to continue. The court has now ruled. What is our plan?
Before, Minister, you can respond, I acknowledge the two hands. I think, Honorable Van der Merwe, the presentation by SASSA, by Minister, to avert or do some non-compliance. So the issue, the question of whether there will be CPA or not, does not arise within the period where there's court instruction is going to be obeyed. We are not going to ask that question because that's what we should be saying as this committee. It's clear that the presentation does not seek to do non-compliance. However, it further says, post everything, there's transformation that must take place, which has been the idea that Honorable Masango spoke about, that before there was always a process, and the process was interrupted because there were issues. Then we'll continue with that. And on the issue of these deductions, it's bad that the debate has been so much on the deductions, yet they were not part of the court interpretation in this meeting. However, I must say, here we sit with legislators, people who are lawmakers. If there is anything wrong with the law or the amendment, then it's our duty to instruct the department to make amendments. We can't say we are going to sit or we are going to criticize or we are going to just think about it. We are going to take actions because we were elected to represent our people, the have-nots, and we are going to do that. So I don't think these questions are necessarily for the minister to articulate, because minister is part of this committee, account to this committee, for us also to take action. So I will not allow minister to really answer questions that are very clear, but I allow the two hands to in the way you want to do it. Yes. No. Honorable Wilson, Honorable Masango, those were the two hands. I hadn't noticed yours. I'm a little bit a dwarf here, so that will come after.
Listen, mine is just a concern. I'm looking at the time. Yes. We are already at almost 10 to 12,
yes.
Meaning at 1 o'clock we are expected to be out of here, and the other important business of the day is the APP. Because the same budget that we are talking about, that will take us to 2018, the APP talks to that budget, and we have to deal with it. So I'm worried if we go out of this place, not have dealt seriously with the APP, because it talks to what we are talking about. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mahas?
and in, were you coming with intervention in this, insofar as Honorable Tsoni? Or it's something else? If it's something else, I wonder.
No, it's okay. I'm not going to speak at all, but we have to complete our work before we go to Parliament. Thank you.
Can I check? Yes, maybe two people are having the mics on at the same time. Can I check if the two honorable members still want to make their input? Or because I had ruled Honorable Toledo that immediately after the minister, which I have avoided here repeating what we already know, that there will be the time for the APP. Can we go to the APPs? Honorable Wilson?
I think we're leaving a lot of questions unanswered here, and it is a concern for me, Chair, and this is why we asked for a Friday meeting as well, because we cannot constantly stop meetings not having unanswered questions because we need to get order of the business day done. I would suggest then we must all meet on Friday. There are unanswered questions around this. Thank you. And we're not going to finish the APP today. Thank you.
Can we go to the APPs and come and discuss the issue of the new date? Honorable Minister, I apologize because at some stage I had said Sisnelli must deploy, yet you were there. So can you then be in a position to give us direction? Who is speaking to us, and that person has got time to speak to us now?
CFO
Wolfie. Okay, if you do that, please talk to your slides and not really read word by word. Thank you.
I'm getting a little bit confused, Honorable Chair, because the Minister, I think, is saying that you must deal with the unanswered questions and not the APP. Now when I hear the Chair, it's like we must deal with the APP.
No, we have left the issue of the IPP, of the questions. You want, so can we go back to this issue of questions? Honorable Toledo.
I also wanted to remind the honorable members that the normal process is if questions are not answered, there are processes where we can ask questions to the minister, either written or any other way. So really, in jealous of time, let's follow those processes that Parliament has afforded us as honorable members.
Can I plead with you, Honorable Toledo, that maybe there are specific questions that they need to respond to? Can you do that? Before, just allow us 10 minutes to deal with that. Please.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you so much for the opportunity again. Yeah, there are several questions that we have not answered. But the Minister did mention most of the things, like the issue of independent practitioners. All the Black Sides had to nominate. We had to nominate. We did nominate people that were sent to the portfolio committee. So unfortunate that it has been taken off the slide, but there is no extreme person that has been nominated that has been sent to come from the side of SARS. So there is none. So we've gone through the legal firm, which has given us two names on the practitioners, and we've got CSIR on the technical side, who have given us a doctor and somebody else onto this. But all those people are people that are being used going forward. And the clause, that issue of the then Dr. will deal with the issue of the I think member Van der Merwe was talking about on the issue that we are letting these deductions to go without somebody needs to take accountability of what has taken place. There's an issue from a member Wilson that came on the issue of the audit. Member Wilson, the honourable member Wilson, that audit that the court said must be done It says it must be done after the end of the contract, that is end of 12 months. Then we need to appoint the independent. Then CPS needs to give us the financials through the independent auditor that would have appointed, that will give to the auditor general that it needs to go. But it's going to happen at the end of the contract, which is 12 months. So we'll do that. It's part and parcel of the things that is there. It is the clause that is there, and we have checked it again and checked it, and it says exactly what I've just said. It is going to happen at the end of the contract.
But you said it in Bloemfontein as well. Because in Bloemfontein, we dealt with the interpretation as to what is required. So that when we come here, we are not confused as to what to ask. So we better have these things in hand now. That this, we were given documents there telling us exactly what the court is saying, what is the requirement, and therefore, what is it that we are going to oversight? Continue.
We are all concerned about what happened yesterday from the court, like Minister has just said. We are still looking at that judgment, but we are already seeing that we as SASSA will be taking it for the appeal, because we cannot let it go through the way that it has gone through. Because what the constitutional court has said on terms of the issue of data and what the judge has said, it conflicts. And for us too, is that there are certain things that the judge did not look into it the way that it was supposed to be looked into, as the reasons why the grant was initiated and all those kind of things. So that we are going to take it to appeal. So let the matter take its course, and we are not going to take it lying down, especially that they said I must pay too. So that needs to be defended at all costs. Can I ask this Busi to take us through on the clause of the green rod on this thing? I wanted to say something onto it, but I may say it illegally. She can say it legally.
All the people who are going to be participating cannot sit down there. Magashale apa kulenda wila apa kutasi. Umjo participator, can you do that quickly? We are chasing time in the assembly.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Minister and Honourable Members. I think I'll first talk about, respond to the issue of the data that is said that in our contract with CTS, you are allowing CTS and Net1 to collect the data. I'm not aware of such a clause, but I'm aware of a clause which says that payment data collected by CTS in the course of the payment of grants is supposed to be maintained in a format that has been stated by SASSA, and it is the property of SASSA. If the Honourable Member can make us aware of that clause, we'll be able to look into it and maybe give a better interpretation thereon. Thank you.
And there, you can elaborate if there's anything. We are left with 5 minutes to finish the questions now.
The issue of the five-year plan, we've got 12 months that have been ordered to use to phase out CPS. We are going
this
to phase...
This is directly Honorable Wilson's question, yeah. That it does it mean together with the Honorable Van der Merwe, where she's asking the minister if within these 5 years we'll be seeing CPS. As participating, and secondly, whether it is no longer 18 months or 1 year, it's gonna be 5 years, so as articulated also by the member. So it is important, therefore, when you respond, in those two approaches that state what the court has said and what are you doing with the compliance requirement, as much as about the five-year period that the minister alluded to. Thank you.
I intend answering in that fashion, Honorable Chair. I said that we have been given 12 months to phase out CPS. So CPS will be phased out in 12 months. There's no doubt about it. We have not been asked, we've been told to do that. Now, what is happening as it is right now is that I saw that this is what I mentioned on the issue that there will be full costing in next week. You mentioned the next week issue, Honorable Solid. I think there will be a little confusion on that of next week, because we are having a workshop with South African Post Office next week, where we are going to be ascertaining things that the post office will be able to help us with and the things that we may feel that they may not be able to do. If there are those things that the post office may not be able to do, we're still on deciding whether we are going out on a tender for those things to source them from ourselves, or we're still pondering whether we may use the post office as the what do you call that thing? Solution Integrated, they talk about SI and SA, Solution Aggregator or Solution Integrator, where we can use the post office whole stock and barrel, then source post office can source other services that they can get from other people that can help us. In the interim, while we are capacitating ourselves, because all members have been talking about the issue of capacitating SASA, and the minister mentioned that fact that there are some lack of expertise at certain points within SASA. All that will happen within this period from when we have faced another organization or somebody in within the 12 months who's going to take us from the 2018 to the time that we are ready as SASA to take over. That may take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years. It's going to be determined as what is it that we are going to be doing going forward. I can assure you, come 2018, like I said the other time, that come 2017 April, we'll be paying. How we pay was going to be a different matter. Come 2018, there will be no CPS. Come 2018, we'll be having an organization, or it will be something that we'll be doing inside that is going to take us to the time that we are ready and capacitate ourselves and do all those kind of things. So I'm not too sure whether this has not answered the questions of 5 years within. We have not pronounced whether it's 5 years or not. We are going to be pronouncing, and when we do the issue of time frames, there's one member who talked about time frames. We'll be putting the time frames and the Gantt chart and all the things that goes with a normal project management, where we're going to say that at this time, this is what we're going to be doing. At this time, this is what we're going to be doing. Right now, the time that we are giving you is the next week, which is a project. It's a workshop that we're going to have with the post office. Because yesterday, the day before yesterday, we're having the EXCO, where we're deciding that we can't pronounce on the issue of the post office until we sit down, all of us as EXCO, and have a workshop with the post office, then decide on the things that we need to do. The issue, member, on the issue of the open architecture, those are things that we are considering. It's not that we have discarded on all those kind of things. I think on the presentation by Mrs. Zodwa, she was talking about open accounts, special accounts, and us taking the account as having our own account as SASA. And if we are going to go the route of the special accounts, then all this issue of deductions will circumvent all the problems that we have now with the issue of Grindrod and the issue of the court judgment. Because if we go the route of the special account, which we're busy discussing with Reserve Bank, we are discussing with them. They are helping us to find a way of how we're going to be able to do that. Then it will help us to put all the regulations that the policy guys from Comprehensive Social Security tells us that this cannot be done, we'll embed it on the account, and the account will be determined by us as to what is it that is going to get into. There was an issue that we are going to want to be kind of like a bank, because we want to be one-stop shop for us to pay grant. So if we are going to go that route, it means that we need to be given some kind of exemption, which is more or less like the exemption that the post bank has, where we can have that kind of an account, where we can be able to do those things, where we can deposit in the deposit account. There will be no money that is going to come from somewhere coming back into the account. It will be a one-way account going out for us to be able to control it. Because in that way, if there's nothing that can come from the other side, so you can't do the deduction. Because it's only money that you put in, and the only time that you touch it is when you trigger it, when you put the card in. It gets triggered from our own main account directly to the account of the thing. I thought I've explained this in a better way. I'm not too sure if there's anybody who can do better than me.
I think there are things that when we move to the APPs cannot be left hanging, because there were two views on it. The one was the issue of having to congratulate the department and its agency for the work done on the first. But I do agree with members who congratulate, and I reinforce that, because when we went to Bloemfontein, we were told clearly by traditional leaders there that we inflicted so much pain by allowing people to phone community members that they will not be paid. And people were flocking in great places in Tabandru to ask why are they not going to be paid. That they were paid smoothly, and the confusion of whether all of them will receive their payment on the first or days after that. So that was job well done. Let alone that there were issues that led to that. But at the same time, I do want to make mention of the fact that our people were not made deliberately to be poor, so that when we fight political battles, they are also used by phoning a poor woman who actually depends on that grant to say you won't get it this time because you have been dumped. We need to say that now that this is all over, whoever did it was very, very unfair. And secondly, on the issue, point at hand on deductions, what Honorable Hope has is what Mr. Magwaza has referred to, or the minister, that, or another member, that there is no database that shows us that this is the list of deductions for each person, so that they can be dealt with, if the court says so, Honorable Van der Merwe. But I can tell you what Honorable Hope from a client in her constituency says is that over time, having stopped the deductions, I still had them renewed without my consent. And going further, it says during that time, she received 6,000. But out of the 6,000, it's detailed clearly in that itemized statement, is that, Honorable Minister, she was given 6,000 in total. But what she used due to deductions, what she actually took home was only 1,000. Because deductions amounted to 5,000. That's how I read it. And I think we will be, and she was also promised a funeral service. But when that time comes, she only gets 15,000 rand instead of a lot of money that was promised in that. As a result, this committee supports you, Minister, when you say you are disappointed. As politicians, as members of the parliament and of this portfolio committee, we're very disappointed. And if it's the law, as some of us want to say, we will be calling for an amendment. If you want to appeal, we'll give you full support, because we stand for the poor. Have-nots cannot use all, the haves cannot use all tricks to rob the poor. Aggressively, they have not. We are here for them. We will support. We'll go all out of our way, because we are parliament and this is people's parliament. That statement must go clearly as it is. We are dissatisfied, let alone the other technical issues. We are not lawyers. That it contradicts the constitutional court ruling. It does this. But what we can see is war against the poor, taking whatever sand they've got back to those worthy. So can okay, this matter now closes the issue of questions, clarities, the issue of a state of readiness. We come into the APT. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, APP. APP. Honorable Chair, we are saying about this APP as it is because you've been saying, and we are now saying to you, that because of all the things that we need to be doing, I think Member Malkhasim put it nicely when she was saying that the things that we are going to be doing will be unfunded because they are not part and parcel of the this APP. We tabled this APP before we were given the court order and all those kind of things. Now I'm trying to confide in the minister. I said, how is the process going to happen? So I'm going to put it in front of the committee because I was saying, how does it affect her budget vote if we are going to ask to retable this APP, which is going to include some of these things, for this money to be part and parcel of the funded mandate. I do not know how we can be able to do that, but we can carry on and take you through this APP. But this APP, as it is an APP that does not take into account these things.
Let me put it to members, because that's your presentation. When I say make a presentation, on APPs. We need that information to say what are the concerns, what are the challenges, how do we take it forward. You place it right in front of the members. Mm-hmm. Honorable members, some processes had gone forward, and then we had a document. Then some intervention was required. Court took its own decisions and put its demands on top of what was already planned and arranged. It is incumbent upon us as members of parliament to make a determination now as to do we go forward, read what we have read, and then wait for amendments at a later stage, and then sit for the presentation. Because I'm a dwarf, I've seen that far end, and I've seen you, Honorable Soledi, and in that role. Mama Masango, you are in that role. My Honorable Member, Soledi, then the role. Thank you so much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And I think it's commendable for the Honourable Magwaza to tell us that it's now an outdated document. One understands that there's been development. But I think it will be a futile exercise, Chairperson, for us to review a document that is now outdated. And rather, it would be, a sound suggestion to say, we've got some time still before our debate, which is not happening next week. It's the week thereafter, towards the end of the week on the Thursday. So it's not this week coming, the week thereafter. I think we need to consider giving them more time to apply their mind to updating the document, and then we find a time that is suitable, which will also fit with the minister's schedule, maybe on a Thursday or a Tuesday, and then we reconvene, because I don't see any way that we can consider an outdated document.
Chairperson, this is really very difficult, Chairperson. That's the time where we were supposed to have our legal advisors here. Because now I'm looking forward that we will be dealing with this document that does not cover what we will be doing in this financial year. But then at the end of the day, the problem will be the department, at the end of the day, the entity, when they receive the audit at the end of the financial year, will have a problem, because they would have done mandates that are not budgeted for this year. So I support the honourable member, the chairperson, that let's seek the advice. Yes, the judgment is here, the court order. At the same time, we need to take it into consideration. But what is important? What then? What is it that we need to do as the portfolio committee? Because I feel that we cannot proceed with the document that at the same time is also going to affect their audit at the end of the year. Yes, we need the budget, but I think we'll be advised that how do we deal with it, because the budget, that is the APP, it talks to the budget that we are going to have on the 25th. With that budget is very, very important. Remember, SASSA gets a lot of money out of what the minister will be presenting in Parliament in 2 weeks' time. So can we then perhaps, if the legal advice is nearer, we get that before we can take any other decision, we be advised whether should we deal with it, or then we can perhaps deal with it later on.
I'm expressing a serious disappointment because 4 times we communicated with the department of the legal department that they must be present in this meeting specifically for what you are actually raising, including some matters that are linked with court issues. I'm told they are not here because we were expecting them to be here. But meanwhile, we are trying to find out because we say just if they are too busy to come to do their work, we will have to do something about that. So I will allow honorable members, meanwhile, the secretary is trying to talk to them.
The other important matter, because I have not finished what I was saying, remember this document, it's referred to us from the Speaker's office. If there are issues of withdrawal and everything, it also has to go through that process. The minister will have to withdraw it formally as it's supposed to be done, and then we present it with... That's why I'm saying we need the legal people, because there's a lot that is involved. We also do not want to find ourselves having done something that is not correct. Let's perhaps adjourn for 10 minutes while the secretary is phoning, because that's the most important thing, that we get advice and then we move on with it. Maybe we might even consider to be here on Friday if it will be ready by then. Thank you.
Members have their hands. I don't want to get them less.
No, Chairperson, I think on the issue of APP, I said it earlier in my input to say it will be difficult for SASSA to present an APP, especially after the court ruling. Let's check then whether the APP that you're going to present and what the court has said in terms of giving SASSA way forward and how it goes. I will even use the organizational design that is new that is coming to SASSA. It will be very difficult to use the APP that they are using. And maybe we must take on the AG advice. What did the AG say in terms of SASSA and the issue of APP? Thank you.
Okay, that's the agreement. Honorable Wilson, I'm cutting you off, but I'm trying to...
I have an addition to that, Chair, that is a concern for me. I agree we need to get legal advice. I don't believe we can continue with when we don't have all the information, number one. Secondly, we got the presentation, I think it was night before last. We got that early. We got a final draft. There's very little information in here. The actual APP, with all the targets and all the finances, we only got today anyway. So none of us have even had a chance to go through this document to prepare ourselves. That's not fair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
I think we need to put an order on that, Chair. All honourable members did receive the actual APP. All of us, I think even before we adjourned for the period that we had, they were all sent to our offices. Thank you, Chair. Or pigeonholes. Now I know because I come from the ANC, I got mine in the pigeonhole long before. So it might be issues that how we get it in our own office. But on that point, Chairperson, we got them earlier on.
No, I ignored it because the secretary wasn't here, because she's responsible for that. She will support us. She will give us information once she's through. May Malka?
Yeah.
I'm not ruling out order, but I'm saying we're working on getting to the bottom of the problem, because we wouldn't like it to be in that arrangement.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I'm going to agree that we adjourn just for the 10 minutes and let the legal person give us the advice that should be given,
so that you can give this meeting direction. Thank you.
I don't have the 10 minutes for free because there were people who complained that some of their questions were not asked. If there is anyone who wants to, the minister is here, and I'm minimizing any other questions on the would-be date for the next meeting. Van der Merwe, please.
Mam Krapa. So now, can I ask a question of clarity? Since we're now not possibly dealing with the APP, when then do you want to discuss the issue of the work streams?
Was there something outstanding on work streams?
Yes, we said we'd come back to it. So I want to get guidance from you whether you then want to discuss it when we do the APP or do we discuss it now when the minister is here?
But all I know, all I've read, like all other South Africans, was that the APP, work streams are said to have been not approved by the Auditor General, and a communication has been sent to the relevant authorities, the CEO, for engagement with the minister, and therefore they therefore can give us some information on that. Honorable Member, Honorable Soledi.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. After Mama Liz, Mama Pulane, you will come after Liz. Okay.
No, but I don't think I think the chairperson has given guidance. She said we can proceed, so they shouldn't be in order because 40 million has already been spent on something that you've just indicated to us was not approved by Treasury. Because what happens is...
There's an answer to that one.
Yeah, I'm not accusing anybody. This is my responsibility. I'm asking a question which I need clarity on, and the Minister or Mr. Magwaza will advise me where I'm right or wrong.
You must not create enemies amongst friends. I'm supporting
you.
They are not lazy to answer that.
Okay.
So
my question,
ask your questions, they will answer you.
Okay. So my question is, we've said already that you've indicated, Chairperson, quite rightly so, that once you... It was a deviation to create the work streams was a deviation from Treasury regulations and from government regulations. We've already spent 40 million on those work streams. Now, the problem has subsequently arisen where in the court documents it said that the reason why we've still got CPS is because the work streams created a parallel structure, which meant the work streams only reported to the minister, therefore leaving key people of SASSA on the outside, which meant that the two weren't talking to one another, and that's why we got to the position where, when it came to the time that we needed to file to the Constitutional Court, there was confusion, the executive, Mr. Magwaza, the former DG were left out, it was a work stream driving the process. So I'm asking, what is the current status of the work streams, considering what has been said in the court papers in terms of its legality and also the 40 million that is spent? If we can get guidance in terms of whether the work streams are still operational, and did we get value for that 40 million, considering that we didn't move anywhere in the last 3 years with the work streams?
Give them space to answer you. Because I think, Honorable Minister, this has been in all the news I've seen, newspapers I've seen, with your faces, all of you. So that is why Business Day, I can mention them. So that's why I also got it on the road. So you can decide what to do with it, because this information continues to be thrown out there, and then when it comes, if we don't answer, it becomes a reality. Matame.
Chairperson.
No, you were not given any platform to speak, Honorable Liz. Please, can I suppress you? I ask that permission, please. This is Matlamin, can you speak? Uzawuthi Matlamin uba uyangaphi kule.
Chairperson, we have not discussed the response from the Treasury.
Secondly, I think it will be important for all of us to read SASSA Act and the relationship between SASSA and the minister. Thirdly, when there are tensions during the time of work, you don't wait. You move on up until you deal with the tensions. Fourthly, after having discussed the whole matter, we may consider taking the matter to court, because we have tried to explain, and inkinga ekhona eshiwo uMam Tswaletsi ukuthi sizingela siphethe itshiwo. We've been explaining on a daily basis why we have work streams. But also, in one SCOPA meeting, someone from the Treasury said work streams were confirmed. And someone said work streams were not confirmed by the Treasury. So these are all the issues we have to look into, not in a bad spirit, in the spirit to ensure that the work that has been done is not undermined. But I must also say that before Ms. Peterson left, a lot of work had been done with the work streams and the officials of SASSA did get a report from the advisory committee, and they did confirm the plan of action. So it should not be taken as if they've been out totally of the whole process. There were times when we tried to bring them together. And it should not be taken as if because we've been able to show the good side and the face of SASSA. It should not be taken as if it has been a smooth sail. There have always been challenges at SASSA. So I think I should raise that so that we all understand that that's not just a clear atmosphere. There are challenges. And some of the challenges are caused by the fact that some officials have a feeling that once you start re-engineering SASSA, they would not have a full space in the institution, because you are going to need a special expertise. But also there are people that have been employed before at SASSA that are professionals but have not amassed the type of experience that you would need in such an institution. So for now, that's the situation. And for now, what we all expect is that we must move together towards a new era of SASSA and ensure that every staff member feels comfortable so that they can be willing to move forward. And all of us must be able to explain each and every step we take. Thank you.
Well, I thought if any decision is taken either by court or by a department or by a whatever, it also becomes critical that the department is allowed to deal with that matter and to come with a report to us. Because the other issue, kukuthi sidla sihamba, we eat and we are still on traveling. The most important matter that I thought, Minister, was important, including in your input, is the fact that whatever verdict comes out, like the one we're talking about of a would-be continued illegal deduction, means that we will interact with the actual content. If it, I'm found to have done wasteful expenditure, as honorable members deem it has happened, it is important to interrogate how it has happened and also who did it. But we cannot, as we stand, not even having sat down to analyze and interrogate issues, we can come to, we can draw conclusions. Otherwise, we'll always be on the wrong side. Honorable members, Mama Wilson, I know you can say what Mama Masang was going to say. Yes.
It's just a point of clarity, because the question was that principally the concern was that the work streams were reporting directly to the minister, which created a parallel situation in SASA. The minister saying that's resolved and they've moved on. Do we take it now that those work streams are now reporting to the CEO and to the executive of SASA, not just directly to the minister? Thank you.
Can you respond, Honourable Minister?
Chairperson, I think work is done in the way that each and every political head would like it to be done. Two, SASA Act, we must all read SASA Act and have a full understanding of SASA Act. Three, I've had a meeting with the management of SASA where we agreed that things that were supposed to be done even before the new CEO arrived in SASA must be done. Because if they are not done and we all jump into the new issues, we are not going to do our work justifiably. And therefore there's been a communication between the management of SASA and the office of the minister. But also, I'm not going to discuss affidavits of other people here. I'm not going to respond to those affidavits. If someone resigns and then decides to come up with an affidavit, I'm not going to stand in the mountains and the streets and everywhere, streams, and say, no, we never did that. Actually, I had given that one, when he was the special advisor, the responsibility to work with the work stream and link up with SAS. I'm not going to do that because there's going to be an interaction that I don't like. I've been quiet about the resignation and everything that has been said in the media. I've been quiet about all those things. Why? Because I respect him. I've worked with him. And therefore, if he decides to handle things differently, it's his own business.
He was supposed to raise an issue at work with the minister and other colleagues, not after resigning. Thank you, Chairperson. I have a suggestion. That time is over now, honorable. Can we talk about what we're waiting for? Mm-hmm. Not unless there is something burning. Mama, hope, bye, Petele.
I'll just be very short about this. It is correct that we should read that SASSA Act, the way the minister's putting it, because it does speak to the concurrence the minister is speaking to us about. And I think there's a lot of legality when it comes to these issues on SASSA. And I wrote with many things, points I put down, that we need legal opinion. So I would like to hear what you as chairperson has to say when it comes to the legal advisor. Because I know you asked in front of me for the legal advisor to be present. I also made a request, but nothing is happening today. Thank you.
Maybe to ensure that we comply, I invite all of us to some type of finger lunch. And secondly, I would wish to be supported, honorable members, that because the advisor, legal advisor, and the legal unit are not here, they are going to look for someone to come here. We better not allow that someone to come because they have not dealt with these issues and might not do good service to us, but rather leave it to the technical support to further engage on this matter. Because I'm honest when I'm saying we were expecting them to be part and parcel of the discussion from the onset, including interacting with the documents, so that their advice is really taken from an informed decision. It is my request that we postpone this particular part and we are given some space, I don't want to say time, to work and find out, because we have to go this route. There is no way. That's why they were part and parcel of people to speak in this meeting once we are engaging in these areas. So am I allowed to do so? To postpone the presentation or the response by the legal advisor, because he's not used to this committee. He's going to be just thrown in to do this work, which is not really what we would want to see. This is very important professional work to be done. Thank you very much. I have seen hands supporting that. So can I invite us to some, those logistics must be announced. Where's the secretary? She's still struggling to talk to this person, because we would want them to come and talk to us so that we can understand what became a challenge. Can I take this opportunity and say, honorable minister, you have written in the as the foreword, you say, we do not take it lightly that social grants are a lifeline and often the only means of survival for many orphans, many vulnerable children, many people, persons with disabilities, older persons, and poor households in our country. And therefore, when we engage with you with this committee, because of foreword you put, we will always want to work with you, want to support you, want to clarify issues and want to respond in a manner that is not about Minister Bathabile Dlamini or CEO Sasa, whoever, but it is all about a man in the street. And therefore, we will look forward to more created opportunities to work with us, with the, all the honorable members. Honorable members, I can see your private conversations, but I don't think they have anything to do with what I'm saying. My appeal is that when we go out there, we're not assessing the minister. We're not assessing the department. We're assessing how far have we gone to improve the lives of those who are suffering out there when we are here on their behalf. And I appreciate the fact that you always honor these meetings. And also implore you honestly to work with us when we seek to address those. When a honorable minister reports, take time to get to Parliament for us to get a response and a recommendation from an oversight. We will no doubt come back to you and plead with your officials and yourself to please help those communities where we were, so that they can not be delayed by Parliament process to get a report and recommendation, but rather feel that some people came to say, hi, how are you doing? And after that, some help has been done. So our appeal is that we can never be able to be parallel lines. There is a convergence, and there's a way of being integrated and working as a team towards solving the problems of our people. And I would always say the have-nots, the less fortunate, the downtrodden, the forgotten, and the marginalized. They are all looking to any MP, irrespective of political affiliation. So there's no way we can work towards different poles. We'll work towards one pole. We thank you for this participation, and that's why I'm putting that introduction, because this meeting will have to sit once all processes have been followed insofar as the legal advice coming forward. We will have to make sacrifices to come and do the last part of listening to the new developed APP due to interventions that have been there. And when I learned, I also really thank you for having been able to participate. We were supposed to leave here at 3 because the 3 start at our sitting. All of us, our sitting is starting at 3. Thank you so much. But I'm waiting for the logistics. Where's the food? So we can assist, help ourselves as we go out. Thank you very much. Thank you.